This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. It's 7.36 in the morning, Tuesday the 9th of February, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Noel, what's happening on there today?
I speak to Dato' Jared Lim, the executive director of TechnaX. It is formerly known as Sina Hua An International, and they are pivoting from their loss-making coke business to energy storage solutions and to capitalize on the rise of demand for electric vehicles. So I'm really interested to find out how credible their technology is and the order book size.
And that's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, so be sure to stay tuned. In the meantime, we are turning our attention to some news out of China, which has seen its market regulator release new anti-monopoly guidelines on Sunday targeting internet platforms. So this tightens existing restrictions faced by the country's tech giants, and they formalise an earlier anti-monopoly draft law that was released in November.
Yes, and this clarifies a series of monopolistic practices that regulators plan to crack down on. The guidelines are expected to put new pressure on the country's leading internet services and bar companies from a range of behavior, including forcing merchants to choose between the country's top internet players, a long-time practice in the market. The notice also said it will stop companies from price-fixing, restricting technologies, and using data and algorithms to manipulate the market.
So how is this going to affect China's tech scene? For more on this, we're speaking this morning with Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital. Brock, thanks so much for joining us today. So what are the short-term and long-term effects of these guidelines to the Chinese tech market, given its huge dominance?
Well, it's still really too early to say. I think everything's going to hinge on implementation. So I think the short-term impact may be a shot of nervous adrenaline for the market. Longer term, we're going to have to see how these things are applied. Now, there are two things that look fairly certain. Fintech leverage risks are going to be closely monitored, and new capital requirements will likely shred Ant's prior valuation. And exclusive vendor relationships are going to be banned, which should impact companies like Alibaba and JD, but maybe not severely.
Right. Do you foresee any Chinese tech companies that might need to be broken up, or it's not such a severe situation that we are looking at?
You know, the thing to remember here is the primary animating idea is really the need to reduce systemic risk, which is why Ant had to be controlled. It was creating unregulated leverage, whereas Alibaba was sort of a secondary problem with its exclusive contracts. Companies that don't threaten the system are unlikely to have major problems, and the most obvious way to do that is to take on or create too much leverage. So HNA had to go and Ant had to be restructured. But I think these are sort of isolated cases.
Can we expect more Chinese tech companies to IPO in the region? Or is there the possibility that this could push them to start IPOing back in New York and other markets?
You know, everywhere in the world, companies would prefer to be unregulated. And I'm just not sure this will really impact IPO pipelines. You know, IPO decisions are more politicized than ever today and heavily impacted by U.S.-Sino relations. And in our current conditions, I think the companies that that decide to take on domestic or dual listings will probably still bite the bullet and continue on that course despite the new regs.
And on the note of IPOs, right? So last year we saw the Ant Group IPO, not IPO, right? It didn't come to be. And we've seen now that they're looking at the unregulated leverage, as you pointed out there. How will this affect the, in your view, the valuation of Ant Group?
You know, I think it's going to have a very significant impact on Ant Group. Ant Group had been had only been putting up a minute couple of percent on its loan portfolio, and now capital requirements will require it to put up a full 30%, which means not only are sort of return on equity is bound to go down, but growth rates are also going to be lower. So Ant, I think, will have to wait a very long time before it gets back to its former valuation.
So moving on as well, Brock, last Friday, shares in Kuaishou nearly tripled on their first day of trading in Hong Kong, propelling the valuation of the Chinese viral video app to $160 billion. Are these valuations justified, and what factored into it?
You know, look, I was barely comfortable with the offering price, and then, as you said, the stock kind of sort of tripled on Friday almost. There are quite a few people who are more comfortable with the pricing than I might be. And that's because they see live streaming and virtual goods as new sectors with massive near-term potential. Now, from my perspective, that may be true, but they're also significantly unproven at this point. And we should also keep in mind that, as we saw with the anti-IPO, these new businesses may only thrive for as long as regulators decide to let them thrive. So that will make it an interesting investment for some, but it doesn't really reflect my own personal investment style or goals.
Well, I'm quite interested in also knowing how will Kuaishou's performance in the markets impact its competitor ByteDance's intention to list Douyin and also its valuation?
Yeah, look, I think there's no question the guys at ByteDance and Douyin were dancing and celebrating on Friday. Kuaishou's market reception can only heighten the expectations for Douyin, which should be a massive IPO if they can pull it off. And I'm certain they're moving as quickly as possible to capture that window of opportunity. Any reasonable person would, I think.
So about ByteDance, do you think Joe Biden will reverse the TikTok ban in the US? And what is your sense of the president's direction in regards to Chinese tech giants encroaching into America?
You know, for better or for worse, I think a TikTok reversal may be unlikely. China still seems just about the one issue where US Republicans and Democrats agree. And I see very little political benefit for Biden in moderating his China response. Now, had Trump won the election, I think he likely would have increased the tensions with China. The Biden upside for U.S. Sino ties may be more of a maintenance of the status quo, but that still may not be enough for TikTok.
And while we talk about TikTok here, now they're pushing ahead with this aggressive e-commerce plans, seemingly a feature that wants to compete with Facebook. How successful do you think this will be? Is it enough to maybe make Mark Zuckerberg have a few sleepless nights here?
Well, I think it would take quite a bit for Mr. Zuckerberg to have a few sleepless nights. TikTok has done a great job up to now, but it still is quite a ways from a Facebook. So, and not only that, even in the U.S., which is more kind of freewheeling and open than China, we're even growing more concerned with the wingspan of a Facebook. So I would have trouble seeing TikTok being allowed to get that preeminent.
We frequently hear names like Tencent and Alibaba. Are there Chinese tech names that we could be looking into more closely, like, for example, Pinduoduo?
It's possible. Look, the China tech sector is extremely vibrant, and right now it's also extremely well capitalized. But there are also risks that the China market has to deal with that we don't deal with in the U.S., and the primary one is this regulatory risk, where imagine if Chinese regulators had moved a month later into the Ant matter after the IPO. Well, you would have had massive losses in the marketplace. So there still will be some instability there that will hamper, I think, the growth of Chinese tech companies, even though the sector as a whole is extremely vibrant right now.
Thanks so much for joining us today to speak with us, Brock. That was Brock Silvers, Chief Investment Officer at Kaiyuan Capital, giving us a perspective on the new regulatory guidelines that we're seeing China put in place that have been impacting their otherwise very vibrant tech sector. And we'll be watching this closely for any updates and bringing them to you as we get them ourselves. But we are turning our attention next to the role of workers' unions and whether or not they are truly effective with Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, President of the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress. That's happening after these messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.